Now, you can create, you can have a lot of willpower and put out a lot of energy, create a lot of magnetism. It won't necessarily be positive magnetism. You know, great villains have willpower and create energy and create magnetism, but very mean people, you know, have willpower and energy and create magnetism, but they don't necessarily create an abundance of anything you want, right? So we have to sort of go step by step. The first is we have to really train and develop our willpower. And this is not a small thing. And the willpower is built out of everyday, consistent setting of goals and meeting of those goals. Setting of realistic goals and meeting of those goals. That's keeping, speaking the truth, keeping your word, just even in very little ways. Sometimes people feel overwhelmed by this. I was talking to someone just today. And I was saying, you know, it looks like a great big project to do all this, but I'll just tell you, very simple. Every time you say you're going to do something, do it. No matter how small, in the specific example I use, I said, you said you would call me the night before we were to go out, and you didn't call me till the next morning. You should have called me that night. Not because it mattered even, but because you said you were going to do it. And I've seen Swamiji over the years to an extraordinary degree. He says he's going to do it, he will do it. And I've gotten myself in a lot of trouble with him, offering him excuses as to why he doesn't have to. You know? And he just looks at me like, you think you're my friend and you're trying to tell me I don't have to do it? Of course I have to do it. I said I would do it. So I mean, just said, even to the point of if he said he was going to go to the store and realizes he doesn't have to, he'll just go anyway and come back. Just because he said he was going to do it. Now, it's easy to dismiss that. But the habit of willpower is built up of all these small actions. And we'll say, oh, this doesn't really matter, and that doesn't really matter. But at what point is it going to matter? And of course, that also causes us to be more careful about what we say we're going to do, doesn't it? And another way that we lose our energy is that we're always just running off at the mouth and we don't mean it. Right? We're just saying things all the time that we don't mean. And so where does our energy go? Our energy just goes out into this completely unfocused, and everybody around us and the whole universe is, I wonder what the heck she really does mean. You know, you have to understand also, this is the other half of what Swami's talking about. If it is energy, and if behind that energy is consciousness, the way Swami describes it is, something very active is listening to us. You know, this just isn't sort of, we're not really functioning all by ourselves. There's a real interactive relationship with all of creation going on. At what point can we draw a circle and say it's not interrelated? This Buddhist woman teacher, whose name is very well known, but I don't remember it, was talking about, so if some of you have heard her say this or read it, you'll remember. She was talking about the fact, she was, in this book, she was describing her own progression to accept the law of karma, which is the law of cause and effect in human relations. And she was saying she was able to accept it in sort of big ways, but she had a really hard time sort of seeing how it applied every day in the here and now. And then she thought of the simplest example that just persuaded her. Her little child, her grandson, sneezed in her face, and a few days later she came down with the same cold her grandson had. Okay, so she could say, okay, it was my karma to get the cold because my grandson sneezed in my face. And then she had to think for a moment, well, how did it happen that I was holding my grandson? So then she thought of all the circumstances in her son's life that had led to her having to babysit at that point. But then she thought, now wait a minute. I have to back that up a little bit. I have to think about how my son happened to get married and all the circumstances involved and how he happened to get a wife and then all the decisions involved for them to have a child. And then she thought, no, wait a minute. I have to back up a little further. I have to think about how I happened to have a son. You know, and then I have to think about where I was when I met my husband and all the things that he was doing, and gosh, then I guess my grandparents come into the picture. And she realized that all the forces that conspired to have her grandson sneeze in her face, you know, she was back to who knows when, Adam and Eve and all the great events of history were all interrelated to the fact that she now had a cold. Now, that can make you really weird, so think about that too. Because everything becomes a cosmic event and makes you socially obnoxious. I'll know people like that. Or maybe they only come into my world, but I know. It's, don't do that. Well, don't go anywhere and do that. That doesn't create good magnetism. But the point of it is, every bubble of energy you put out interacts with something, doesn't it? And the point that we're trying to deal with now is, therefore, there's never any point in which you can say, my consciousness doesn't matter. Now, this is very liberating. This is also crazy-making, so you kind of have to think about this. Because at every point, you are creating your destiny. And you're not just creating your destiny by your little external events that your teacher can see and grade. You're really creating your destiny by the quality of your consciousness. Because that is defining your energy, which is defining your magnetism, which is defining your entire interaction with the whole world around you. And that's what Swamiji is saying. You are part of a greater reality. Such simple words. Now, the happiness part of this is, Swamiji, there's such a funny interchange I had with him the other day. It was so poignant. We were talking about someone or something who did something, and I said, well, you know, people feel lonely. And Swami looked at me and he said, but there are people everywhere. You know, it's just like, people feel lonely, there are people everywhere. Isn't that simple? But because we do feel lonely when we draw a circle around ourselves and say, only certain things will satisfy me, or only certain conditions. When I was about 18, I think I have been very lonely in other lives, and I had a very passionate desire not to be. That's the only way I can think of it. Because I remember powerfully when I was in my late teens, just making the decision that I would never go there, I would never become lonely, because there were people everywhere. And that if I ever felt lonely, I could see it would always be because I was closing myself in. And so I just sort of developed this habit of making connections. You know, just realizing if I'm sitting in my house and I feel lonely, then I can go out and make a connection. You know, maybe I can't make an intimate soulmate friend forever, but I can make a connection, I can break it down. Right? Because we are part of everything, and everything is part of us if we just keep that thought. And you see, once you have that thought, everything about you seems different too, doesn't it? You see how everything just works together? Once you have the thought that I'm alone and unlovable and no one loves me and I'm all by myself, you just walk right on and even sees you. Right? Because you can't be seen. You've created a vibration around yourself where you're invisible. If you create a vibration around yourself that says, I belong to this universe, I belong everywhere, everyone is my friend. And what happens when you have that kind of consciousness? Well, lo and behold, you end up with a lot of people who feel the same way about you. What a surprising development. Now, you might have to learn a few things like conversation, you know, and how to be nice, and things like that. But those things can be acquired. They're much easier to learn once you have your essential consciousness. So, Swamiji's emphasis to always see ourselves that way, what I'm starting to say is, it's something that you practice all the time. It's not just you say, since our subject is money, and let me give it a little bit of a focus here. It's not just something that you say, I'm going to go into business, what are the rules? You say, I'm going to have a life, how do I generate magnetism? And it's a seamless reality. That's why Swamiji approached the subject of money from such a cosmic level. If you enter into the flow of life with a sense that we're in this together, then making money, making friends, you know, having good health, anything that you want to do, it's all part of this same flow. And Swamiji writes, I want to just deal with this for a moment before we take a break. He said, when he was talking about being a spent force by the time you're 40, he used a phrase that was just very interesting. If you have divided your life up between two points, like he mentioned, like family and job, instead of seeing life as an integrated whole, I don't have a rubber band, but I like to do a demonstration with the rubber bands. I pretend I have one in my hand here. You know, people talk a lot about stress, and I'm being told like this. But stress is created when you have a point of resistance. You don't have stress without a point of resistance. If I have a rubber band in my hand and it pulls this way, but we all move, then there's no stress, is there? I mean, there may be energy, there may be forward motion, but there's no stress. Stress comes when you pull one way and are pulled in another way, right? Okay, now that doesn't mean that you don't put a rock into the river and say, I can't go beyond this point, because we can't do everything. We have to concentrate, we have to have willpower also. But we don't have to feel that things that are happening against us. Okay, the mindset that things are happening against us, instead of feeling that everything that's happening is part of my reality. It's a subtle change, but it's a huge change. Whenever we feel separated and acted against is when we begin to feel contracted. And I want to talk as soon as I take a short break here. You know, the one point that Swami talks about is that there's two directions for human consciousness to go, toward expansion or toward contraction. And that really becomes the fundamental attitude that determines what kind of magnetism we have and what our fate is like and what our sense of abundance is. Now, I'm going to stop and ask if there's questions or comments, and then we'll take a break.